And I'm Mary Angish. And our gardening guru expert, Charlie Nardozzi, is here to answer gardening questions. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Mary.
First of all, though, I know you want to talk about one of my favorite late summer flowers, phlox.
Yeah. Tall garden phlox. This is different than the creeping phlox.
Yeah.
They bloom more towards August, a beautiful perennial to have in the landscape because August tends to be kind of a quiet time in the perennial flower garden. So this will give it a big pop of color. They're hardy plants. They're native plants. They're good butterfly and bee plants. They have lots of advantages to them. So everyone should have some phlox. They have colors ranging from pure white to a pink to an orange to a deep burgundy all the way to blue. I have one that's like beautiful blue color to it. So it's lots of variations. They all generally grow about 3 to 5 feet tall. They grow in clumps, so they get bigger over time. So you can divide them after about 3 to 4 years and to form smaller clumps and spread them around the landscape. The only big problem they have with garden phlox, or tall garden phlox, is powdery mildew.
Oh.
And people have had this issue for years. The plants start getting powdery mildew around this time of year when we get cool, dewy nights and sunny days, and that's perfect for the fungus to get going. And it can turn the leaves yellow, and they start dropping, and the whole patch just looks really bad.
Mm.
So the best solution for that is to grow disease-resistant varieties. There are some older disease-resistant varieties like David and Smartwood, Bright Eyes and Glamour Girl, and they're okay. They're tolerant, but there are a lot of new ones out there, and the Chicago Botanic Garden has done trials on these new varieties, so that's a good place, good reference to go to see which ones are the most resistant. But some of the newer varieties like Candy Store, Red Caribbean, and the Flame series are really nice ones that are very disease-resistant and flower better too. A couple other things you can do though, if you have garden phlox that are like your favorite and it does get some of this powdery mildew, is in the spring when they first start coming up, thin out the number of stems in each one of the clumps to about 5 or 6 thick ones and take all the little ones out so it's not as crowded. And also top them when they first grow up about 6 inches tall. That'll force them to branch. And so you'll have a plant that grows up, branches out, you'll have a lot of flowers, but not as thick.
Mm.
Also keep them away from the house, a garage, a wall, a solid fence, anywhere where there's not good airflow.
Because
the airflow will actually dry out the leaves and makes it less likely to get the powdery mildew disease. And then, of course, clean them up really well in the fall. Usually we tell people not to clean up their garden in the fall. But in this case, with the powdery mildew, probably is a good idea to remove them.
Okay.
So if you do those things, you can have some beautiful tall garden phlox right into the fall.
Ah, I love them. Question time. This one's from Dick in North River, New York. And Dick is having some issues with his rattlesnake beans. They're lush, they're green, but no flowers, no beans. What gives?
Oh, you're probably being too nice to your beans. So beans like kind of an average or a low fertility soil because, they can fix atmospheric nitrogen. So if you added compost or composted manure or fertilizer with nitrogen in it, that's what causes the thick, lush green growth and the lack of flowering and fruits. But be patient, Dick, because what happens is nitrogen is very volatile. It'll evaporate into the atmosphere, and those beans will come back, and they will be flowering a little later than normal, but you'll get some fruit out of them.
Okay. Kathleen writes, a friend gave me your email address when I told her that my beet and chard seedlings disappeared overnight. Floating row cover had preserved a third of the planting of beets, but when I thought they were past threat, I took it off and now they're all gone. Kathleen writes, I've kept a vegetable garden in Vermont for nearly 50 years, and the issues keep changing with the climate. Any suggestions about this particular problem?
Well, the seedlings could be eaten by slugs because they're still out there in abundance because it's been so wet this summer. The fact that you pulled the row cover off and someone ate the bigger ones, that sounds more like a rabbit, perhaps, or even like a mouse or something that got in there. So I think you need a little bit better protection. I think you can do another crop of them because it's not too late to do that. So you can either start the seedlings indoors and then transplant little seedlings into the garden versus trying to grow them from seed. And then I would sprinkle around some slug bait. So iron phosphate is a really good one because it's a natural material. It's toxic to slugs, but not other creatures. And you can get different products like Slug-O is one of them that you can get. Sprinkle those around, put that cover back over them again, and that'll take care of the slugs, and hopefully the cover will keep the rabbits or mice out of it too.
If you have late summer garden questions, send them to Charlie at gardening@vermontpublic.org. And listen to these episodes in your favorite podcast app. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.